Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts, a 6th event podcast, video event one-shots, and an additional video D&D campaign. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows and vote on the way their stories will progress. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please, join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. D-U-M-B-D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's D-U-M-B, D-U-M-B, D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back, redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, children of the night, to Blood and Syrup, a Vampire the Masquerade live play podcast. I am your host, Vlad von Lestat, drinker of blood, keeper of the chronicle, and all around the spooky dude, With the cult refractured by the discovery of Everett's secret, they still need to save the bear boys. Everett refused to reveal his secret, though it will affect his standing with the others, and Iris and Ridley went on a hunt to bring Harvey his first victim, though apparently he just ate a kitty cat. Abandon hope, all ye who listen here.
So, Everett, you find yourself wandering the streets of Montreal with literally nowhere to go. You've been living at Malone's, your car is gone. And as you storm out of the bar, you step out into the sort of dark streets of the city. And I think for a moment at least, you try and just pretend that you're still a cop, that this is still just what you do. And you observe the comings and goings of the city at night, Montreal by night, if you will. You see, you know, people coming and going. You see civilians, for lack of a better term, starting their day, ending their day, carrying on their day. And even though it's very different from, in some ways, from what a night out where you're from is, in other ways, people at this time of night slash morning are kind of the same everywhere to some extent. And there's a comfort and a sadness to that, because that's no longer your world. What do you think is going through your head after the fight with Ridley and Iris?
I think Everett's thinking about what I am actually thinking about is, like, I'm going to have to tell him at some point. What does that look like? Mm-hmm. What? In when the monsters who eat people find they cannot abide your appetites, like, what does that make you? Mm-hmm. Just how can he tell them? Why should he have to tell them? I think maybe if it's just like an audience of one, I think it even gets into like an echo chamber of like, you know what? No, I am right on mm-hmm. this kind of thing, you know, like there's no one to really bounce it off of. So it, right. I think he probably starts, well, the more his own head he gets, the more I think indignant he gets about it.
I did want to remind you of three potential people you could bounce this off of. So you still have two touchstones available to you. And you'll forgive me, I don't have the relationship map up in front of me, so you'll have to remind me of some names. But you have your cop connection here on...
Billy Kincaid, I believe is her name.
I'm sorry, which?
Billy Kincaid.
Yes, right, of course. So you've got Billy Kincaid, and you also have your nurse.
Now, I don't know if I've ever met that person or not yet. I don't know if we determined that, Tom.
I guess that's true, eh?
Yeah.
Okay, so no, we
have bump into a nurse on a street corner who says to tell me things.
You say that jokingly. Well, I'm currently figuring out how to do that scene, and now it's going to sound like a hack solution. So no, now he doesn't meet that nurse. Thanks, Ryan. Good fucking storytelling. The nurse is dead. Take 2 points of stain.
Fuck it. We're going down in an earlier round.
Okay, so you can't have that now, or maybe ever. So instead... That's
fine. I couldn't remember the nurse's name anyway.
No, it's fine. It's fine. They're dead to me. It's just Rosario Dawson. The other person, weirdly, the only other real contact you have here is Mr. Ken, your Nosferatu informant who frequents a weird late night internet cafe. Mm-hmm. He's not a friend by any stretch, but he's one of two other people you know in this town. That said, I will give you the option. Do you think Everett would know anyone else? I feel like you've been pretty local to either Harvey or the bar, but yeah. If I'm mistaken.
Outside of probably connecting most with Billy about being like, we need to clean up, you know, this town and the rules just aren't getting the job done. Like there's a connection there with Billy Kincaid, but
the other question is like, how do you get to her? She's likely, we've established that she tends to work nights.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't think it would be about bothering Billy. Okay. I don't think Everett has any intention of like, even if it's like Mr. Ken, finding Mr. Ken and being like, hey, can I share a secret with you? Yeah, can I share totally a truth, yep. A personal truth? But just like anyone to distract him, right? So maybe even just an information broker, you know, having just their ear to the ground just to talk about what's going on in the city, like Mr. Ken might help.
Okay. So you make your way to the internet cafe that, you know, Mr. Ken is known to frequent. Mr. Ken is a Nosferatu, so similar to the spider I guess those are really the only ones you've met. The catch to the Nosferatu are generally information brokers, and I feel like Ellen, having given you Mr. Ken as a contact, would have briefed you on this. But the Nosferatu, basically, they get the shitty end of the stick when it comes to being a vampire, because everyone else gets to look like a human and then secretly be a vampire. The Nosferatu straight up look like vampires.
Yeah.
There's no two ways about it, and most of them have some kind of abnormality. And in a lot of cases, those are advantages. As you saw with the spider, that can mean that you have incredible abilities that no one else does. It does just, however, remove you from the ability to kind of move freely through mortal society. Mr. Ken has used this to his advantage by installing himself in a 24-hour internet cafe where everyone looks kind of like a zombie, and he is no exception. So you enter, and you find him in the same corner that you'd previously spoken to him in. He basically has just like an incredibly long face, if that makes any sense. Yeah. It's like all... Little bit of the like the melted candle business. So just like his face, just his jaws elongated. He's just very, very long, pale. His eyes are pure black. His skin has no pigment. It's the flesh from his skin hangs lower on his jaw. So he has a habit of constantly biting his lower lip just to keep the skin up. Because if he were to let it down, you'd basically just see his jawbone and then almost like a beard of skin and flesh hanging lower than that. But again, having sat in front of a computer a lot lately, as most of us have, you get to look pretty rough doing that. And he basically hides in plain sight by secreting himself in this corner of this cafe where he seems to have managed to rent a permanent installation surrounded by empty energy drink cans, you know, crumpled bags of takeout and Doritos, all of which you know aren't eaten, right. But they create very much a vibe of just like a 24/7 addict. So as you approach into this net cafe, which is called Mancho Mon's Randall Savage, and then there's an off-brand picture of a wrestler. It's one of those weird, like, we don't want to get sued, so we're just going to try and fly under the radar. And the entire internet cafe is improbably decorated to the gills with, WWE/WWF memorabilia. There's like a Hulk Hogan cutout at the door. There's, you know, all the staff wear like those weird wrestling onesie tights. And the place is fucking sad. Like, no one here has any energy. There's none of the, like, welcome, brother. Come on in and grab a computer. It's like, welcome, brother. It's me, Hark Hogan. Brother, do you want 24 hours, 5 hours? Don't masturbate. Okay, there's your computer. Good luck. So you make your way through this sad zone to the back corner where you find Mr. Ken. And he... because of the nature of his affliction, when his bones move, his skin takes a second to catch up. So he turns and his eyes disappear for a second, and then he just kind of lifts his hands and slowly stretches the skin around to face you. He says,
"Ah, yes, Detective Fry. Good to see you again."
"Good to see you too, Mr. Ken.
Tell me, and he takes a sip of an energy drink because it's hard on his voice. "Tell me, Detective, when I sent word that I needed help in the sewers for my friends and I, and it fell on deaf ears, did you come to understand in your recent expedition why I needed help in the sewers?"
"I did indeed, yes."
"And did you perhaps pay the price for not investigating sooner, as your beloved information broker suggested?"
"A price was certainly paid, Mr. Ken, I can tell you that."
"Well, perhaps next time don't rob a morgue when a friend reaches out for help instead."
I'll have to remember that.
"Well, it is an extraordinarily specific circumstance that would be foolish if this were an audio medium to repeat, because no one would want that, but nevertheless, the lesson stands. What brings you to my humble abode? Please, Dorito, energy drink?"
No, I'm good, thank you. I was wondering if you knew anything about the Satin Prince or... further to that one,
Diedrich Johnson.
Diedrich Janssen.
I saw your searches. Truly clumsy work, detective. At least use incognito mode if you're going to be searching specific terms such as
that. I'm more proficient at analog investigations, Mr. Ken.
I assume that involves some kind of magnifying glass and looking at footprints.
It can.
Cool.
Yeah. Don't argue with the results, though. Mm. They're pretty good still.
Mm-hmm. That's why true crime fans on Reddit solve more crimes than the police these days, correct? In any case, detective, yes, the satin prints. What would you like to know? Your Google search was rather vague and unhelpful to me. Tyler, can you go ahead and roll me a... basically, this is... obviously, Mr. Ken is kind of pissed that y'all went and investigated the situation with...
Dominic Looney?
Dominic Looney. Or, no, you went and robbed the morgue right. Rather than dealing with...
I got the timeline all mixed up.
Yeah, no, it's all good. Rather than doing him a favor in the sewers. How are you going to try and convince him?
I think I might offer up those analog investigative services. The digital investigation can only reach so far. Sometimes you need to track someone down and get information out of them in a more hands-on way. So and that implies like doing nasty stuff to someone, but also at the same time, it's maybe just listening in on a conversation that they're not having on their phone or their computer.
Cool. So you can get, I think if you could give me an intelligence and streetwise check, please, or investigation. I would take investigation. Oh man, I hate that I keep giving you that.
I love it because it appears that no matter how many dice I have, I can still get one or zero successes.
Just like in a real investigation. Sometimes there's no evidence, no matter how good an investigator you are.
This is maybe going to be one of those times. Okay. I have three successes, and I have two ones. Those are crit fails, yeah? D10 doesn't get lower than that, because the zero is a 10,
I think.
So one of those crit fails is on a hunger die. I can't remember if that means anything.
It does.
Bestial failure? Is that what it is?
Failure, okay. Sir.
Cool.
Damn it, there's no rhyme for that.
Beastie.
I've got one, but I'm going to hold
I think we
tongue.
Did go with Beastie McFeasty.
Yeah, I hate it. Thanks, I hate Jesus. It. I hate it. I regret everything. I regret us.
I think we could sell a Messy Successy shirt, but not a Beastie McFeasty shirt.
Beastie McFeasty sounds like a weird like bison burger offered by McDonald's for a month before they realize it's ruinously expensive and abandon it.
Hey, Iris, I saw the raised finger. Did you have something to add?
I quit and kill me off.
I know that was an option. I'll take one of those.
It's too late for that. You already have a t-shirt. sorry, I'm just looking up the Ventru... bestial, like what's the bane?
The bane is your eating
habits.
Oh, the
bane is the eating thing. Okay.
Yeah. We're not as easy to figure out the fails.
Oh fuck! All right. Oh shit. Okay. Here's what it is then.
Hi, friends. It's Ryan here, and I am excited to invite you to join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice Patreon. It's a great way for you to help our team keep creating shows that you love, and it's a cool opportunity for you to get neat things, too. At the $1 level, we have a Patreon-exclusive Discord, so you can chat with other listeners and our cast in spoiler and non-spoiler channels so anyone can tag in. At the $5 level, we offer ad-free feeds for a bunch of our shows, so you won't have to hear us advertising our Patreon anymore. At $15, you get to submit names for NPCs, places, and things that we have to use in the shows, and we also have a tips, tricks, and traps video where you can submit questions that our GMs and DMs, myself and Tom, will answer for you. And at $25, you can create your own NPC to join one of our active shows and get a special thank you at the end of every episode we produce. We've got a bunch of tiers where you can join, so please head on over to patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's D-U-M-B-D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. patreon.com/dumdumdice. please help support us, and we'll keep new episodes coming.
Hey, friends. It's Ryan, but like regular Ryan, as himself, talking about Dumb Dumbs and Dice. Yes, I'm one of the people behind this show. Obviously, you're listening to the show. You're loving this show. Somebody's doing great. Probably not me, but like Tom, he does really good work. Tyler does really good work. Third person also does really good work. I don't know what show this is on. But the important thing is that you can support the show and join the show at
patreon.com/dumbdumbdice.
That's right, that address that I totally just said. Go there, join Dum Dums and Dice, support the show. It's going to be great.
Tyler, you successfully offer him these assistants. And I know you briefly said this sounds incredibly grim, but it's not meant as such. You sell him on it. However, this is going to carry over to whenever you do him a favor. So I'd like you to mark that this bestial failure, it's basically a hold. And it's going to apply to whatever favor you end up doing him. Doing for him, rather. And I will say, because you're a smart improviser and you're on a bunch of these shows, I know that will mean that Tyler is aware it's a bad idea to ever do a favor for Mr. Ken. Everett is 100% unaware. He is convinced that he can do this. But given that your grasp on humanity is despite your protestations, beginning to slip.
Growing tenuous, yeah.
Yeah. It might mean you get a bit rougher or more monstrous than you intend. But
stuck on that, like, I think you should leave sketch where he's lying about the babysitter being like, no, the cops said that, like, those people don't even matter. Like, don't worry, like, they're nothing.
Yeah.
They're not even going to do anything about it.
Amazing. okay. Very good. Cool. So, Mr. Ken kind of nods and he says, I will remember this, detective, and I will, next time I call on you, do not ignore my summons, please.
I learned my lesson the first time, sir. Thank you for giving me a second chance.
He does that thing, and it's kind of awkward based on the way his skin hangs, he's smiling but doesn't want to appear to be smiling. When I was but a wee baron, my parents took me to a, at that point, Toronto mainstay, the Organ Grinder, which was a place where they would just play songs on an organ. They requested the Ghostbusters theme for me, and I got very excited, but also was ashamed of how excited I was, so I hid under the table so no one would see how wide I was grinning. That's what happens to Mr. Ken when you call him sir. It has never happened for him before, and you can see he is grinning ear to ear, but trying not to, but also his skin doesn't really do that, so it's kind of like a weird, like, yes, well, see
Mr.
that you
can. Can I help you down there under the table?
I'm fine.
Okay.
He comes back up from under the table, just like tying his lip back up in a weird way and just stuffs it back in his mouth. He says, very good. So, the Satin Prince, what would you like to know?
Well, as I understand it, his last show is tomorrow night, and as a party goer, he's likely going to go hit some pretty exclusive clubs. I'd like to know which ones, and I'd like to be able to get in to have a chat with him.
Mr. Ken looks briefly aghast as he's kind of resettling himself back into his gaming throne. And almost a bit embarrassed. And he says, Detective, I must confess there are limits even to what I can accomplish ever since our network went down. That was perhaps before your time. Once we had a beautiful bit of internet going, we kindred, but the Inquisition found it, purged it, and gathered rather a lot of information about our kind. And as a result, my reach is somewhat limited. My ability to gather information
high. My ability to, say, procure backstage passes to the Satin Prince's show, very low. However, you mentioned interest, or at least in your searches, to Dederik Jonsson, is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Where my powers end, his seem to begin. Although he is not a Nosferatu like I, he seems to have capabilities I sadly do not. Give you his location tomorrow evening. He can likely take you the rest of the way.
I've heard rumors. Is he a kindred?
He is indeed a Toreador, like your Miss Dunn, if I'm not mistaken. He's an interesting case. Was not approved by a prince per se, nor was he as flippantly created as one of the, I believe you're calling them Batista's children, is that correct?
Yeah, that's a term being thrown around. Every time we seem to run into them, they wound up dead before we can really get to the heart of their organization.
That is good, Detective. Vampires, kindred, created without any sense of order, are dangerous at best and ruinous at worst. Dederik is an interesting case. The kindred are not immune to the revels of the flesh, and after a particularly debaucherous evening, one of our kind took it upon themselves to embrace a charming, if clueless, blogger who had been following them around, writing tremendously beautiful profiles of them. Unfortunately, the curse of the Toreador hit rather powerfully, and as a result, dear sweet Dederik was no longer able to sing the praises of his maker, who has now fled into the night. However, he is still quite capable of spinning a tremendous yarn about a nightclub and has been a part of the scene here for some time. I am truly envious of his ability to walk in broad, not daylight, but in the spotlight. Everyone just accepts him as part of it now. He is tremendously well-connected and a bit of an oddity, almost the mascot of the kindred here in Montreal. Now that the stranglehold of the Sabbat has loosened somewhat, we Camarilla can enjoy benefits again, and Dederik is certainly one of them. He is a charming eccentric, unlike us, and then he, like, tucks his lip back into his mouth, creating yet another weird, like, tragedy mask look.
Could you arrange a meeting for us?
I can tell you where he is, and you can take it from there.
Happily. Thank you.
I will tell you, he is a rather eccentric and charming fellow. I'm sure if you approach him with any modicum of kindness and personability, he will no doubt be eager to assist.
I'll try to be on my best behavior then.
That would be a good idea.
Oh, Mr. Ken, I do have just one other question for you, if you have the time.
Sure thing, Columbo. What have you got?
That's a good pull.
you know my frame of reference.
Yeah.
Iris Dunn has been in the news recently. Accused of killing a...
Gordon Stevenson, yes.
Yeah, yeah. How did that come to be? Just kind of popped into the news cycle quite randomly, I thought.
Yes, I was curious about that as well. Anytime one of our number shows up as publicly as that, it is worth investigating. I tell you what, and he grins, and suddenly you can kind of see where he steeples his fingers, and then you see other fingers steeple under that, and he still has fingers on the keyboard. He grins and he says, I tell you what, Detective Fry, you tell me what you refuse to tell your friends at the bar, and I will tell you what I know of Miss Dunn's problems. I hope you don't mind. I tapped into the the phone lines. And he grins.
You turned our phones into listening devices?
Yes, you're not my only on-the-ground agent. It is amazing what exterminators can do.
He looks super smug, but also still very embarrassing because he's surrounded by empty Red Bull cans.
So he's offering up information on how Iris has been implicated in...
He will tell you how the Iris thing came about if you tell him what you refuse to tell your friends. Also, keep in mind, it's not necessarily that he's then going to sell it back to them. You do get the sense that he just legitimately hates not knowing things, and you can tell that this is irking him.
Mr. Ken, why do you think that I would tell you if I wouldn't tell my coterie?
Well, I'm offering you an exchange. Also, truth be told, only you and I truly work for the Camarilla. The rest of them are just fun hangers-on, are they not?
I don't see it that way. I do think of them as my team.
Adorable.
If it's in regards to...
If you don't want to give me that, you can offer me something else, but I do need something.
It's in regards to my tastes, specific to who and what I eat.
Oh, very fun indeed. And who, and pray tell, do you eat, Ventru?
I've given you a little, sir. How about a little in return?
A digital file was sent to the Montreal Gazette from a, it would seem, a rather cool dude, if his Facebook profile is to be believed. I've always been envious of the man bun. Cannot accomplish it myself. And then he just pulls, very like Beetlejuice style, just like pulls the top of his head up, and he's like, I have to do this to get it, and it's very unfortunate. And then he just slocks it down. Says, but, the file was leaked. There is some suspicion amongst their email servers that it is perhaps not entirely verifiable. But if it bleeds, it leads, as they say. So there is some question. Not many people believe that Iris Dunn, famed poet, would be the type to murder an academic. But it is a fun bit of goss, is it not?
Yeah, sure.
I should tell you, if you aren't aware, Detective Fry, the Camarilla has ways of dealing with these problems. We always have. The masquerade could not survive otherwise. But you are all on the very fringes. As I understand, you've been taking orders from some people who aren't necessarily on the same page as the rest of the organization.
Is that right?
Tell me, Detective Fry, what are your thoughts on syrup barons?
My opinion on them just quite recently changed somewhat.
Ah, now that should sit well with our soon-to-be-returned prince. Things are changing here in Montreal, Detective Fry. Rather drastically, not in any small part because of your actions and what you and your coterie have managed to accomplish. But they say he has awakened, and soon he shall reclaim the throne.
Right. The throne, yeah. Thanks, Mr. Ken. I think I'll be going.
See that you do, Detective Fry. I'll be in touch. Also, if you wouldn't mind giving Hark Holgan another 20, that'll buy me another couple hours.
Sure. I'll fish a 20 out of my wallet, American, and give it to the
Hark Holgan guy up front. Pockets it, and he's like, thank you, brother. I will make sure that you get 20 more minutes on your machine. And then his mustache just slowly falls off and dangles embarrassingly in front of his mouth. So as you leave, having some answers, some new questions, to make your way back to Malone's before the sun rises, you exit the bar, and can you please roll me a, or this is the bar, the internet cafe. Can you please roll me, sir, a dexterity and awareness roll, please?
Yeah, dex. Where's my awareness? Or are they both on the...
Dexterity is physical.
Oh, dex is up top. Okay.
Is under...
all the skills are kind of weird, but it's the third column on the right on my sheet.
Got it. Thank you. One of these, one of the, we'll just do that and that. Sorry, just give me 1 second. Five, okay. That's better. That's two successes, sorry, one success, two crits. No hunger dice factored either way.
Dang, I was hoping we'd get both in a single episode. So you step out, and just out of the corner of your eye, you see a projectile coming straight for your head. So just with old mortal instinct, you dodge, something zips by your head, nicks your ear, and you immediately feel your skin begin to burn. You turn and see a crossbow bolt stuck in the door frame next to you. And as you put your hand to your ear, your skin's already beginning to settle, but there's a sizzle and a crackle to it that seems perhaps more powerful than a slight nick should feel. Sticking out of the door frame, you see a crossbow bolt with a note tied to it.
I want to look around the street for the shooter. Any indication of where they are?
Unfortunately, no. Largely because in the time, and it's one of those things that really, like, it's like Saw, like the first Saw movie where you're like, fuck, if I was just aware, I would have solved this problem.
Yeah.
If you hadn't been dodging it, you totally, it's a crossbow. Like, it's not like a fucking sniper rifle. But because you were in the process of dodging, by the time you look back, it's still a busy enough night street that you don't see a shooter.
I'll get up and I'll yank the whole bolt out of the door frame. And I'll take this note off the end of it.
Cool. So you can see that the, even though you're not particularly familiar with arrows as such, it's clearly silvered, which is a new and unpleasant discovery.
Can I touch this tip just with my fingers and touch it? Does it burn? Or
the second you touch it, and as you pull it away, you can actually feel a liquid coating. Just feels like water, but enough that it stings.
Okay. I want to take out like a handkerchief, just wrap it around the end, snap it off. So I have like a smaller, more portable version. I just tuck the covered version back into my pocket. And I take out this note as well.
Gotcha. The note is written in block script. And it just says, "You're right not to trust them. I think we want the same things. Call this number and I'll be in touch." And there's a phone number. And so with that in hand, and a number to eventually call, Everett, you begin to make your way back to TJ Malone's with one more secret in your pocket.
This episode of Blood and Serum features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Megan Miles at Maggie Miles on Twitter, and storyteller Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode was edited by Ryan LaPlante, and the Dum Dums and Dice logos are done by Decapitated Markers at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are What's Really Going On Right Now by Chase Allen Willis and Traffic by Kai Engel. And
and our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R. All of their music is available on freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com, our Twitter and Instagram are at dumdumdice, and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. You can also buy merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice, and you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. Sleep well, children of the night. Ah, ah, ah. Spooky.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, the Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, DM Rob, Christopher Little, Olin Anderson, Sue One, Devin Boyce, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Anthony Griffin, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.